Yeah, it's doing something. Let's come to God in prayer. God, our Father in heaven, we give you thanks for this wonderful passage, this great big long prayer in Ephesians chapter 1. It goes all the way from verse 3 to verse 14. And we're just looking at just one little section of one great big prayer. But Lord, we thank you that we can learn so much from the prayers of Paul as he was in prison and he had something to leave that you had put upon his heart for the congregations that are all around Ephesus, and that he had a message to give of assurance and comfort and strength in a time like now when there was many things taking place to unsettle the believers. So we ask, Lord, that you would guide and lead us now and help us in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. To summarise so far, we've said that the nation, and to some degree the church, is like a chook without a head. We use the illustration. And when you chop off the head of a chook, it runs around in circles and it doesn't know where it's going. And so, in some ways, our world's a bit like that at the moment. Because we've forgotten our head. That is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is there. And we don't make reference to him in our world as to the solutions that he has given to us. We also said it's time to look at things through God's looking glass and to see the world through the looking glass of God, because from all eternity God's had a secret plan. And that secret plan is that his people, the church, would be like a body and that they would be gathered together as one people right across the world. And all heaven and all earth would be bound together with Christ as the head. And today we're going to look at how that unfolds, how God's plan unfolds in history, how it unravels, starting with the Jews and going to the Gentiles. Now, I brought along today my glasses. See them? But then when I went to get them, I said, hang on, the glasses. And I put my glasses on. You know, they were a bit foggy. I can't see them. And then I realised, oh, that's an old pair of glasses that I had. You know, that was in my drawer. I don't know why I kept them. I thought, well, maybe one day I'll use them again. But the reason that I'm not using them is because it's a bit foggy when I look out. So then I thought, hang on. I found another pair here, like. So I put them on. They were a little bit better, but they weren't all that good. And I couldn't really see things very clearly, so I thought, boy, where's my glasses? So then I found my new pair, and I put them on. Oh, boy, did that make a difference? I could see things really clearly. Now I can see all you people, and I can't see the ones that are out there, but I wish I could. But now I've got my glasses on that I can see with. Well, God's big plan starts in the Old Testament where the glasses are a little bit foggy, and then it goes to the New Testament where they get really clear. So things come into picture and we begin to see that it's all about Jesus. And then when we get to heaven, everything will be crystal clear and we'll be able to see things as they really are. But you know, right from the beginning, right to the end, God had one great big plan, and that's his church. That's going to be reconciled, brought together by the blood of Jesus. And so we move to our first point of our sermon, is that he begins with the foundations of the church. And here Paul in his prayer starts with himself as being someone, if you like, who had the old pair of glasses on, but who came to believe in Jesus. And so he began to see the good second pair, so to speak, or the real pair. He came to see that Jesus was the one who the Old Testament was pointing to, and so he starts with the old people of God, the old church, which is the church of the Jews, of Abraham, of Isaac and Jacob, and all the Old Testament. So the first great big part of our Bible that goes all the way up to about there, that's where the old glasses, if you like, the Old Testament. We can see the Old Testament there. We can see Jesus, but it's kind of like a little bit foggy. And then we come to the New Testament, and all of a sudden it's like having new glasses on. Well, Paul, he stood in the middle because he was a Jew. He'd been brought up as a Jew, and he'd been trained as a Jew, and he was even a leader among the Jews. But then he met Jesus, and Jesus gave him a whole new way of looking at things. And he had a new set of glasses. And so he starts with talking about his people. And so in this prayer, it's quite unusual, this prayer, when you look at it, he looks at himself as a Jew, but as also a Christian who had accepted that Jesus was the one who had come for the Jews, for the world, for everybody else, and that he was the Messiah. And so if you notice how it puts it in Ephesians, in chapter 1, he says, "In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him." Now, the bit I want you to look at is the word "we." In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him. Here he means himself and all the other Jews like himself who had become converted to Christ. And so they had come to believe. And so there was a whole list of people like Paul going right back into history who had really come to be converted, who had come to see that the Christ was really going to come, and that understand enough to hold fast to Jesus coming. But then Paul, his eyes opened, and he was able to see things. He was able to understand stuff that he hadn't been able to understand before, and that was about Jesus. So that's what he's talking about here. He said, from the time of Abraham, in fact, even before that, God had been revealing himself. In him we were also chosen, talking of the Old Testament church, who were predestined according to the plan, the God's plan, that everything was going to work out together through history, and in history, something was going to happen. In history, that this great Christ was going to come. And that God was working everything out in conformity with his plan and the purpose of his will. So look at the progression of the church. It was chosen by God's selection through grace and not race, through faith and not performance, and through Christ and not through any person or their efforts. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 15 and 16, it says, "We who are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ." Always it had been, in the Old Testament, they'd been saved by faith, through grace, by Christ, but the glasses weren't so clear. They couldn't really see what that meant properly. And so here's what Paul is talking about here, that they were chosen and God had worked in the people, among the people of the Jews, in the descendants of Abraham, or the Habiru, the Hebrew people, and how he had worked there throughout history. Then we see that all that had happened according to the plan and purpose of his will. in order that we, here he describes again this we, who is this we? We who first put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. So it was, in a sense, they were like the first shoots coming out of the root of Christ's church. And you can read about that in the book of Romans, and chapter 11 to 12, so on, in that area. Chapter 9 to 11, really. So it's all about that, how they're like the root of the tree that we also are connected to. And so he's talking there about them being the first to put their hope in Christ for the praise of his glory. This was the selection process in Christ. And it was worked out, verse 4, before the foundation of the world. It was worked out. It was an adoption that took place, verse 5, by God predestining us to be his children. So way back then, before the universe began, God planned the Jewish nation would be called, or whoever, with this, the people of God, the old covenant people, however we understand the Old Testament, that was in God's plan, that those people would be called out to belong to him. And it was predestined that would work out that way. And then it happened. According to God's method of redemption, verse 7, which was through the blood of Christ. And so even Abraham and all the Old Testament people were saved through the blood of Christ. Though Christ had not yet died, it was, he's as good as died, because God had predestined that to happen, and God applied that to those Old Testament people. And Paul was one of them, and he was one of the first to put their hope in Christ for the praise of God's glory. So God had a sure and steady plan to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ, and he started with Paul's own people who had become believers in Christ. The Old Testament church is the same church as the New Testament, but we've got some clearer glasses so we can see things a bit more clearly. And so, in the New Testament, we have an updated prescription. You see, when my glasses started to get a bit foggy, I go up to the optometrist, and she put the whole lot of little things over my eyes, and they all go, fuff, fuff, fuff. She said, does that look better? And that look better? And then I can, all of a sudden, I can say, read that bottom line. And I can say, oh, yeah. I thought that O was a P or something else. It's something different. And so I can see things more clearly with a prescription. And so in the New Testament, we have, like, so to speak, God given us a prescription. So you can see the contrast of this in verse 12 and 13 between the old glasses and the new glasses. In verse 12, he talks of we who first put our hope in Christ, that we might be for the praise of his glory, as a God of election and grace who would bless his own people from among all the others in the world, and he called out that nation to be his own people. So that's what we see in the Old Testament with the old glasses. In the new glasses, in verse 13, he adds the Gentile church. The Gentile church it included the Jews and also the Gentiles. It included the whole universe, everybody, under the one head, Jesus. Wow. And so he says in verse 13, you also were included in Christ and became incorporated into God's own people, saved in Christ. Okay, and so we see the second thing is the continuing church. We saw the foundational church of the Old Testament. We see the continuing church that's built on the foundation of the Old Testament church, but it's like a new set of glasses that God's given us to be able to see what he's done, what he planned to do in his great big plan, which was way even before things even began. Now we can see the plan coming into focus better because Jesus has turned up. Christ has come. The New Testament church is based on the old, and it is one church through the ages. Paul wants to promote assurance and confidence that the Ephesians were part of the great purpose included in Christ. And that's what I want to happen today. I want the people of God to know that you, as New Testament Christians who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, have been included in this great big plan that God has, way back before the world began, to send his son, the Lord Jesus, to die on the cross for your sin, so that he could apply to you all the benefits of that, so that you could be his people, he could dwell in you and you in him for all eternity, collectively, gathering together, as Ephesians 1 verse 9 and 10 puts it. Well, continuing church. Well, what does he say about how they entered this church? You know, how do we get to belong to this church that God planned way back then? How did we come to be a part of it? Did we, you know, have to do something like, sign a certificate or hold up our mobile phone and click it or do something? Do we have to do that? No. God did it for us. God did something different. We see when we entered the church is when we heard the word of truth and had our ears opened. When we heard the word of truth. Now, not just saying that we heard about the gospel and, you know, it just sort of went in one ear and out the other, or it never even made it in one ear. It just sort of didn't even make it into one ear. Doesn't mean that. To have heard the gospel means that it's gone in and sunk in to our head, into our minds. That Jesus is the saviour of our sin, from our sins, and that we're right with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, who died according to God's plan so that we could be put right with him for all eternity. We heard that message of truth. We had our ears opened and we had our mind opened to receive it. It had come into focus. Well, that's when they entered, when they believed. Well, how? I mean, how? When they entered was when they heard the message, sorry. But how did they do that? They believed. And how is it that they came to believe? It was in accordance with the plan, says the earlier verses, that God had put into place. Did you know that if you believe in the Lord Jesus, are you listening? If you believe in the Lord Jesus, it happened according to God's plan. And that God had this plan that you would hear the message, that you would believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he would open your heart, that you would accept the reality that he died for your sin. And so come to be his child. And so even your belief is a gift of God. Even your coming to have your eyes opened is a work of God. Even having your ears open to hear, and even having your eyes with the new prescription, all that is a work of God, planned way back then for God's glory. Because God marked you out as his own from all eternity. God said, hey, you're my child from way, 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 way back. And he said, you're part of my family for eternity. Not because you're some special person that's done some great thing, but just because that's the way God decided to do it. God came to this decision way back then that he was going to have these people. In the Old Testament it was the Jews, and then in the New Testament it's the Jews and the Gentiles, all included in the family. Right. How else did they enter How did God show you and I that we're part of this family? He marked us, it says, with a seal. You know what a seal is? It's a bit like a stamp. And so in the olden days, you know, when you went in and you got a check, they would stamp it like that. To say, yeah, you've been in, you presented your check, whatever. I suppose it's a bit like signing a document. It's like signing a signed document to show that you really are one who has entered into an agreement. It might be you've sold your house. So they sign a document and they'll seal it. So God sealed. He sealed it way, 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 way back. But it came about through the promised Holy Spirit. Did you know that God promised to give you and all the believers, all the church, the Holy Spirit? And the Holy Spirit was like the deposit of heaven. And so inside you, whether you can see him or not, you know he's there. If you love God, if you believe in him, if you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross for you personally, then you're sealed. And if out of your mouth comes like, God is my Father, according to Romans 8, you say God is your Father, then that's like having the Holy Spirit speaking inside you. And so the Holy Spirit is given to us to grant us access to this church by giving us faith in God's plan in Jesus Christ, worked out from before the foundation of the world. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, we see him who grants access into God's church in a twofold work. The twofold work is the deposit. He's given us a deposit of this adoption. When you buy a house, you may not be able to pay the whole lot because you can't afford the whole lot, but you can lay down a deposit. And so God says, I've given you all the spiritual blessings of heaven, but you can't have them all fully just yet, but I'll give you a deposit. And that's the Holy Spirit. Isn't that wonderful? From all eternity. And not only that, he gives us a guarantee. A guarantee written by God. I guarantee that if you as a my believer will be in my family forever and ever and ever. I guarantee it, says God. Guaranteeing our inheritance, says there. Until the redemption of those who are in Christ Jesus. In other words, since this is all an entire work of God, it is God who will make certain his plan is carried out of belonging to his family. He keeps us. He keeps his promise. He carries it out. He guarantees it. He gives us his deposit. Until, it says, the final redemption. And what's all that about? Isn't it true that we've already redeemed? Yeah, we have been redeemed through the blood of Christ. But you know, when we die, our body will change. We'll become like new bodies. And that'll be called, that's like the redemption of our body. And we will be forever perfect. We have no more sin. There's no more death, no more misery, no more COVID or earthquakes or anything like that. It'll just all be wonderful. And we shall be healthy and well and good and new, enjoying God and his being part of his family forevermore. So what he's saying is God's going to keep you up going until then. That last bit. We're now, but not yet. We've been redeemed, but we're still waiting. We've still got this sin problem. and hangs on. But our body will be redeemed. Well, why then is belonging to him so certain and sure? Because the Holy Spirit has sealed our hearts. And we are believers in the Lord Jesus, redeemed by his blood, and guaranteed an inheritance into God's family. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. God our Father in heaven, we thank you for the wonderful certainties there that we have been included in your great plan. Worked out from all eternity, unfolding in the Old Testament, in the community of the believers connected to Abraham, who really had no fixed address. He just was a wandering nomad. But he believed, and he was called and chosen, justified by faith through grace. And we're part of that community that he was there, but we've had our eyes open more to be able to see things differently because Jesus has come and lived and died and fulfilled all those purposes and plans that we look for in the Old Testament. And then, not only that, you've given us the Holy Spirit, who has been the one that's assured us and driven that home to us in our hearts, that we are your people, called to belong to you, loved and redeemed. To him be all the glory in the church now and always. Amen.